verse 10 in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Last week, I spoke to you on the value of work. I want to continue that, God willing, today. I guess you could call this the value of work part 2. I sure need your prayers. I don't think there's any doubt that God intends for us to work. He gave Adam a job to do before the fall, and that job was to dress. He put him into the garden and told him to dress it and to keep it. And the reason I'm laughing, Becky had me working like a mule the last 2 days trimming the bushes in the backyard, and that's why the boys called her Ramses the Third. And I understand that. And while I was sweating and complaining and stickers falling on me, she said, "Now we're dressing and keeping the backyard." So God gave Adam a job from the very get-go to dress and to keep the garden. This was before he fell. Amen? Work is good for us. It really is good for us. God teaches in his book that we're supposed to work hard. He teaches that we're supposed to do a little bit more than is expected. You want to be your boss's favorite employee? I can tell you how. Do a little bit more than is expected and don't gripe. That's all it'll take. You'll be the favorite. Anyway, so, you know, God expects us to do a little bit more than is required voluntarily. Isn't that something? Think about that just in every area of life. We should have a good attitude about work, shouldn't we? That's sometimes the hard part, isn't it? I want to address that here in a minute, having a good attitude about it. And parents need to teach children to work and to do a good job, too. But the problem we have, of course, is we're fallen sinners and we don't always have the best attitude toward things, do we? Oh, I don't want to go on. It's just sometimes it's hard to do. And sometimes we think we're better than the job we have. That's possible, isn't it? But it's beneath us. That's why that's painful to me, because I've been guilty of that. Well, so what I want to address first of all is the right attitude. How can we have a better attitude toward our work, whatever it is? And I just want to share you the two verses that have meant the most to me down through the years about having the right attitude toward work. And this is the first one's in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, whatever you're doing, give it your best. Don't be a slacker. If you're digging a ditch, dig the best ditch you can, right? If you're mowing the yard, do the best job you can. On and on. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, you're not going to work when you're dead. You're supposed to work now and do the best job you can. I mentioned last week, taking pride in a job well done is not an evil thing. In other words, to take pride in doing it right the first time. And by the way, if you do it right the first time, you don't have to go back and redo it. It's actually more efficient, isn't it? It's more efficient to take time to do it right the first time than to have to go back and redo it later. Amen? I mean, that's just obvious. So, this is saying, whatever you do, do it with all your heart, do it with all your might, do a good job, do the best you can. But the one that really, really rocked my world over 20 years ago is in Colossians chapter 3. And let's just go to Colossians 3 and look at this one. Because this one, oh my goodness. How many times have you thought, well, the boss is no better than I am? Have you ever, has that thought ever entered your mind? He's no better than I am, or she's no better than I am. You know what? That's really true, but that's also irrelevant. It's their position, right, that gives them the authority to tell us what to do. And it may be that the boss is not as good a person as you are. That is absolutely true. But here's the thing that converted me, absolutely converted me, over 20 years ago. I don't know, maybe, I don't know how many years ago, many, many years ago. This is the one that just absolutely, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. He says, servants in 22. That means you can just say employees if you want to. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. Well, if I'm not supposed to be working to please men, who am I working to please? That ought to be your question. If I'm not working to please man, who am I working to please? Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, now that goes right back to Ecclesiastes, whatever so thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. In other words, the Lord's going to bless you for this. By the way, when he bless, let me tell you when he's going to bless you for that. While you live right here. It's not when you get to heaven. Just forget about the idea that when you get to heaven, you're going to be rewarded for what you've done. Just put that out of your mind. When you get to heaven, guess you're going to be rewarded. But you know what you're going to be rewarded for? For what Christ has done. In spite of what you have done. Hallelujah. And that's how I know there are no levels in heaven. That's just, what? That people are going to be on a higher level? No. If you go to heaven because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, you're going to have everything in heaven that Christ has. Heirs and joint heirs, the Bible calls us. But anyway, but you're going to get a reward for this kind of service and work right here while you live. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the inheritance, reward of the inheritance. Now notice this, for ye serve the Lord Christ even when you're working on the job. I cannot tell you. There is no describing how that changed my life. How it changed my entire attitude toward work. I will tell you that when I got this sort of, in other words, when I realized what this was saying, and I'm not going to say that I got it 100% right, or that I didn't have moments of disgruntlement and all that, but when I got this, when the Lord just bore down on me, it's when I really started enjoying teaching. Because I realized I wasn't working for the principal. I wasn't working for the superintendent. I was working for the Lord, even while I was teaching school. I really can't explain. There's no explaining that. And let me tell you, study this, pray over it, let it sink in, and it'll just rock your world. It'll change your entire attitude. Because let me just ask you this, how great a privilege is it to be able to work for Christ? We work for Christ. Absolutely amazing. Okay, now does that mean that you're automatically going to wake up at 7:15? You know, no, you still may have trouble getting out, you know, getting up and waking up, you know. There are people that just wake up, and then there are people that have trouble waking up. Doesn't mean it's going to change your whole nature, but boy, it can change your attitude. Let me ask you this. Have we not said over and over that the difference between a duty and a privilege is just your attitude? The thing that my teaching job did not change one bit. As far as it getting better or anything, you know why it got better? My attitude got better. Because I realized I wasn't just working for the man. I wasn't even just working for the students as much as I love them. My employer, the ultimate authority that I was working for was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, I just can't tell you. I'm also going to tell you, since I'm on that, I worked for principals that were pathetic. They were pathetic. I could still have a better attitude, though, if I remember that the Lord was the one I was really working for. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I cannot describe the difference this can make in our work life. It'll make all the difference in the world. And I had a much easier time doing a little more than was required of me. Had a much easier time not griping and complaining. I also learned to stay out of the lounge where all the griping and the complaining took place. I stayed out of the lounge. I don't know where you work. If there's a hive of griping and complaining, you might avoid that a little bit, because that does rub off on you. But I'm telling you right now, this changed my life. I mean, I'm serious, and you can ask Becky if it didn't change my life, how it just made all the difference in the world about how I did my work. And it still affects me. That's why I could trim the limbs yesterday under the sharp lash of Ramses III, and still have a halfway decent attitude about it and sort of have fun about it. The work is not done yet. Anyway, work is a blessing. And we can actually enjoy work, and especially when we realize who we're working for. So, now that's the first thing I wanted to say. And then the second thing I wanted to stress here is not all work is for pay. Amen? Not all work is for pay. Now, what I was just talking about is working on the job, whatever it is. Work is under the Lord. When you go by the, here's a little hint. When you go by the office of the manager or boss, just imagine it's Jesus Christ sitting in there. I'm really serious. Would that make a difference if it was Jesus sitting in there? I cannot describe the change this wrought in me. Am I saying I'm perfect? Absolutely not. Did I still gripe? Yes. Becky had to teach me. Look, you got to quit griping when you come home. I'm tired of hearing it. Yes, honey. You're right. But just imagine that we do our work for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it'll change your whole world. And you'll be the best employee. I mean it. Do the best you can. Press down, shake it together, run it over, add a little extra like the baker's dozen. I don't know who came up with the idea of a baker's dozen. That's a great idea. You go to get a dozen. Instead of a dozen, you get 13 to get a little extra. That's wonderful. How many of you like getting a baker's dozen? I like it. But not all work is for pay. Amen. Sometimes we have to do work, and sometimes we do work, and sometimes it's the greatest honor and privilege to do work for which we do not get pay. Right? And I've thought a lot about this. And I want to mention several areas where this takes place. We do work for not, then, and we don't get paid for it. Now, when I got to thinking about this, I immediately thought of my students. Because I would give my students an assignment, and they're automatic. Question was, teachers in here know what I'm going to say. Mr. Harvey, is this for a grade? Are you going to grade this? You know what they were doing? They were going to do it if they were going to get paid for it. In their minds. If they weren't going to get paid for it, get a grade, put it in the grade book, they weren't going to do it. And incidentally, the ones that didn't do the work that didn't get graded were the ones that did poorly on the work that did get graded. Isn't that ironic? They would say to me, Mr. Harvey, are you going to grade this? Do we get a grade for this? And my answer was always, is this for a grade? I would say, of course, it's for a grade, even if I never grade it. They didn't understand that, but it was true. It was for a grade, even if I never graded it. And if they could have got that through their minds, how much better off would they have been to do their work, whether they got paid for it or not? Now, that's my silly little example. Now, sometimes we do work that's not for pay. Sometimes we do work for the team. Amen? Now, I'm conflicted about the emphasis on sports in America. I'm absolutely conflicted about it because we're obsessed with it. And sports has got, even Little League has gotten to the point where people will forsake the house of God to go play Little League. And I think that's evil. But I do think that being on a team can teach you a good lesson. And that lesson is teamwork makes the dream work. Being part of a team, it's great, isn't it? And doing what you do, even though you may not get graded for it, you may not get paid for it or whatever, but what you do, you're doing for the betterment of the team. And sometimes you may even have to take a little bit of a lower seat in order for the team to do better. That is a good lesson that sports teaches. How many of you ever played basketball and there was a ball hog on the team? Y'all remember the ball hog? Dribble all around the court and wouldn't throw to the person that was standing wide open. Y'all remember that? And what was the issue with the ball hog? The issue was it wasn't a team player. Hey, y'all, can I tell you? Sometimes we have to do work that's not for pay, but it's for the team. This is a great thing that athletics teaches young people. It's a great thing. And then if you'll think about that, that'll also apply to a lot of other areas in life. Teamwork makes the dream work applies to a lot of other areas in life beyond an athletic team. Second thing I'd say that sometimes we do work for without pay is for the family, for the home. Now, moms and dads often go out and do work for pay, and that's honorable, is it not? That is honorable. Remember what we said last week? He that, as we're told in one of the letters, I forget if it's Timothy or Thessalonians, he that will not work, the scripture says, neither should he eat. That's what the Bible says. So there's no doubt that God expects us to work and, you know, and have money and so forth in order to run the, there's no doubt about that. Moms do that some too. I don't guess it would hurt if the children did it, now that I stop and think about that a minute. But what I'm talking about right here is doing work for the family, for the home, that for which we don't get pay. Now I want to ask you, do dads do any work for the family for which they do not receive pay? Becky didn't pay me Friday and Saturday for all the work I did in the backyard. I didn't pay her either. Now that I mention it, I better say that half of that. There was no pay involved in that. You know what? Although there was a little bit of pay, but the pay was not monetary. The pay was how great it looked. You know, having a little bit of pride in a job well done, taking care of, you know, that's the pay that we got, as well as some exercise that I enjoyed also. Do dads do anything around the house for which they don't get paid? I don't usually get paid for taking out the trash, unloading the dishwasher, vacuuming the floor in my shorts and dark socks. Please, don't bother. One day I was vacuuming the floor. I had on shorts and a pair of black socks. Not expecting company, the doorbell rings and it's Lee Stumbo bringing me cheesecake. And Lee Stumbo not only handed me the cheesecake, she made fun of me for looking like a goober or something. I don't remember now what she said. Do you ever do anything around the house that you don't get paid? I enjoy mowing the yard. I told y'all I like mowing the yard. I don't get paid for that. I don't get monetary for that. I still get joy out of it, though. Y'all with me? Every time I shave, I rinse my whiskers out of the sink. Every time. I don't leave Becky to do that. I'm not trying to say I'm great, but I'm just saying I enjoy doing that. I like doing that. I've already told you I take Becky coffee. Lots of things that we dads do that we don't get paid for. Amen? And then when I come down to the next, when I think about everything that moms do for the home, I just cannot even wrap my mind around what moms do for the home for which they are not paid with money. Just let your mind think about that a little bit. Was that you, Babu? Did y'all hear Babu? That was smart elk. Babu said we couldn't afford her. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is, there is no monetary value. Would y'all agree with what I'm fixing to say? There is no monetary value that can be placed on what moms do for the home. No monetary value, but their reward is right here while they live, according to what I just read to you in Colossians. They can do that work. Dad, by the way, dads can do their work around the house as unto the Lord. Hear me? Men, when you rinse your whiskers out, that's for the Lord. Moms, when they're doing all that they do and for which there is no monetary value and they could not ever be paid enough, when they're doing all that and they are going to receive a reward that's right here and right now because they're doing all this and they're not even assigning a value to it. And they just do it, moms do. It's amazing. Now that mom's taking care of her husband. Most of us don't have sense enough to take care of ourselves. I just say amen, amen. We just need help. I mean, there's just certain areas where we got to have help. She's taking care of the husband. She's taking care of the children. And when they're young, she's really working. Olivia is learning something. Olivia is learning something. The baby was much less trouble when it was in uterus. Amen? Of course, it wasn't as much fun either. She and John are learning a big lesson. That old time, you know, paying for their raising. That's what they're doing. They're doing exactly what Becky did for John, Olivia's now doing for James. You know the story? Bet she's learning a tremendous lesson. Is she being paid for that? No, she's not being paid for that. Is she working hard? Amazingly hard. Is there enough money in the world to pay? No, she's worth more than any amount of money in the world for what she's doing. Is she getting a reward? Unbelievable. And if she will continue to work, she and John will continue to work, that reward will get richer and richer as the years go by. Can you say amen, parents? It's unbelievable. Moms aren't getting paid for all that. Washing dishes, sweeping floors, whatever they do, changing light bulbs, they're not paid for that, but they're doing it with a happy heart. They do that as unto the Lord. They do it for the family. Now, you young children, I want you to sit up and listen to me. You young children can do something, and not so young children, the college-age children, you can do something for your family, for your home as well, and you shouldn't always want money for it. Are you listening? Pick up your room. And don't wait to be told. Pick up your room voluntarily. Your mother and father will probably faint. Get the smelling salts when you do this now. Pick up your room without being told. Do a little more than is expected. Do you have to be paid for that? No. You're working for the team. You're working for the family. You're working for the home. It's a great, in other words, there's times we just work for the cause. Working for the family, for the home is tremendous. Pick up your room without being told. Don't leave your towel lying in the floor in the bathroom. You say, well, man, he's mean. Oh, I'm just trying to help you a little bit. Clean the kitchen up after supper. You boys too, won't hurt you. My mama made, we had to wash dishes when I was a kid. Anybody else that was male have to wash dishes? Woo, man alive. My mother didn't care. You know. By the way, did I like that when I was 8 years old? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? No, I did not like it. Now I look back on what a blessing that was. And my mother didn't say, you go in there and wash the dishes, I'll give you a dollar. It was wash the dishes or else. Amen. Parents, are you listening? Young people, get in there and clean up the kitchen. Take your dishes to the sink without being told. I dare you. Put your trash in the trash. For you older ones, are you young people mad at me? I hope you're not. This is working for the home, working for the family, working for the cause, working for the team, working for the unit. Do you have to be paid? I sure hope not. By the way, you parent, you kids that are at home working for your parents, you are being paid. Your parents let you live with them. They let you sleep in their bed, eat their food, partake of their air conditioning. Say amen, church. Brother Harold's got an amen sign under here. Might have to get it out. Did I understand that so well when I was young? No, I didn't. I do now. My parents let me live with them until I was grown. Unbelievable. When you get older, here's what I think you can do. Mow the yard. Don't wait to be told, just mow it. If it needs mowing, that's another thing the employers like. That's another thing that God likes. When you see something needs to be done, you just do it. That's what God likes. That's what employers like. That's what moms and dads like. That's what the Bible teaches. You see something needs to be done, do it. Don't say, hey, there's something that needs to be done. You know why I'm saying these things? Because I have said them myself. May the Lord forgive me. The yard needs mowing, mow the yard. Just get out there and mow the yard. Keep waiting for Seth to come clean my gutters. Seth says, he's not doing that. I don't blame him. But anyway, whatever, you know, just things that need to be done. Hey, do you have to do it? Do you say, well, Dad, I'll clean the gutters for $5. No, clean the gutters. And then your dad may, you don't know what your dad's going to do. Are y'all with me? Work for the cause, not for pay. There's lots of work we do that's for the cause, not for pay. And sometimes, I'll tell you right now, sometimes that's the most fun, isn't it? I tell you something else that's fun. To do something for somebody else that needs it done, maybe they have a little trouble, just to do that for them, not expect pay, just do it for them. Well, that's great. What a blessing that is. You want to know why that's such a blessing? Why these things are such a blessing? Because they're anti-selfish. That's why they're such a blessing from God. It's not thinking of ourselves. It's learning to think of others and for others and to do for others. And it's so wonderful. And you young people start now working on it. Because it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. The sooner you learn this lesson, the better it'll be, the happier you'll be. I tell you what, I'll double dog dare the young people. Next time your parents say, go clean your room, smile. Smile. Be thankful you have a room to clean. And go do the best job you possibly can, as unto the Lord. All these things need to be done unto the Lord as well. All this work is done as unto the Lord. Jesus is the one we're working for, no matter what we're doing. Isn't that an amazing thought? Jesus is the one we're working for. Merciful heavens. The third category, we do work for the team, we do work for the family. The third category is for the country. There's a lot of work we can do for the country, and I'm speaking of military and civilian. Now, I'm not going to worry about the military so much. The military, there's no way to honor them enough, thank God for them enough, that they're willing to defend us all over the world and do what they do and sacrifice their own lives for the preservation of freedom. Can you say amen to that? It's a most amazing thing. But there's also work that we civilians can do for the country. Number one under that category, I would say vote ethics. When you go to the polls to vote, vote ethics. Don't vote party or economy. Vote what is right before God as best you can determine it. You're going to be weird? Yeah, you're going to be weird. But I think that's the right thing for us to do. And that'd be great for the country. Also, I'd say under this heading, just be the best Christian you can possibly be. live your life to the best as you possibly can. You'll be an asset to society rather than a liability. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You'll be someone that society will gain from instead of society being worse as a result of. And every time I think about that kind of thing, I think of what Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa said one time, she said, what can you do to promote world peace? Or maybe somebody asked her. I think maybe somebody asked Mother Teresa, what can I do to promote world peace? And she said, go home and love your family. Powerful. She's exactly right. What can you do to promote America, to preserve America, be the best Christian you can be? And I want to quote John F. Kennedy. Brother Harold and I were talking about this weeks ago. It's been on my mind ever since. One of the most powerful statements I've ever heard made by a politician was made by John F. Kennedy. Remember when he said, ask not what your country can do for you. How many of us, and I'm just going to pause right there. How many people in the world right now, all they're thinking about is what their country, what the government is going to do for them? Right? John F. Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask rather what you can do for your country. I think he was exactly right. We haven't all served in the military. I didn't serve in the military. Probably would have been better if I had. Probably would have learned discipline better if I had. I admit that all together. But whether we've served in the military or not, each one of us as civilians and citizens can do for our country what is good for our country if we'll just live a godly and moral and upright life. You'll be helping the country rather than being a hindrance to it. So, we work for the team without pay. We work for the home. A lot of us do that without pay. Incidentally, let me back up to the home. Is it wrong for moms and dads to give their children an allowance? I don't think it's wrong. But I don't think every single thing a child does in the home should be paid for. Okay? That's what Mr. Ezzo taught us in Growing Kids God's Way. And we work for the country. Even those of us who are just civilians. Even those of us who are just people. Just, you know, normal people. Unimportant people, we can still work for our country. And of course, the last area of where we sometimes work without pay, and that is for the church. Amen. Is there any work to be done for the local church? Is there any work that needs to be done? Anything that has to be done for the local church? Any work that needs to be done? If we're going to have a gathering out at the pavilion, there's a little bit of work that's got to be done in order for that to happen, right? There's a little bit of work that's got to be done. If we're going to have hot dogs, somebody's got to go get them. On and on. I mean, every time we have lunch, somebody's done some work to bring lunch. I don't expect the ladies get paid for that too much, do they? Y'all getting paid for that? You know, the ladies, here's the standard. The normal standard is whatever your family would eat, you make enough for your family. You bring that so there's always enough. I bet you don't get paid for that, do you, ladies? Nobody's sending you a check for that. But most of the ladies that do that, they're happy to do that. They're doing that for the team. They're doing that for the family. They're doing that for the church. Happy to do it. There's lots of stuff that has to be done in a church. I mean, I think a lot, and when we do that, we got people that fix the flower. People fix the flower beds. People do this. They do that. They do, they see stuff that's got to be done. They just do it. Can I tell you something? That is a tremendous blessing. To be able to do some little something, even if it's maybe seemingly insignificant, to be able to do that, and you do it as your part of the service to God in the local church, that's a tremendous blessing. Now, some of you say, well, I don't do a lot of that. I'm telling you, number one is be here. Number one. I've said to you before, I say to you again, no one can fill your place except you. You think, boy, that's smart. Boy, it took a lot of college for me to figure that out. But that is really true. And incidentally, if the church is a body, which there is no doubt about it, the scriptures describe it as that, the absence of one of the members of the body causes it to be painful. There's something missing. Well, I don't think probably that any of you are expecting a check in the mail for being here today. I don't think any of you are expecting that. But you know what? If you're here and you come with the right attitude and you come for what you can put in instead of what you can get. See, there, right there is the rub. So often we come to church with the wrong attitude, don't we? We come to church for what we can get instead of what we can put in. Sometimes we do that. But if you're here and you've got the right attitude, I think I can promise you on the authority of God's word, you won't go away from here without a blessing that you didn't have when you were on your way. You'll go away better. Now you may, John asked me to preach when we were down there in Florida, and I did the best I could. And one of the deacons came up to me afterward and said, "We want you to come back, but we hope you wait about 6 months so my toes can heal." Sometimes the truth of God's word is a little painful to us, is it not? By the way, that's really further evidence we need to hear it. That's not evidence that we don't need to hear it. That's evidence we need to hear it. Are you with me? So even if you come here today and you got the right attitude and you may go away with your toes a little sore, it happens to the preacher too, I promise you. I promise you, whether you can understand it or not, it happens to him too. Even if that's what you go away with, you've gone away with a tremendous blessing. But now I'm talking about just little stuff that needs to be done around here. You know, there's a great deal of stuff that has to be done and that is done in order for Point Remove Church to operate smoothly. Now, we've got deacons that do great work. We've got other people in the church that do great work for the church. And that's what keeps this thing running smoothly. So when you see something that needs to be done, with joy do it. With joy do it. It'll be a tremendous blessing to you. Now, I want to list a few things that go beyond that, little small things. Tell you something else you can do. Just be a witness for Jesus in your daily life. And what I mean by that is this. You don't have to go around telling everybody all the theology that you heard, just telling them how good God's been, how good church was, how great it was, what a wonderful blessing it was, and so forth and so on. And be a happy, satisfied customer, even if your toes are sore. I really mean it. Say how great, or just tell people, as the scripture told the one man, just go and tell people how great things God has done for you. You just be that way. Be a happy, positive person. I really believe that all of us as church members ought to be the happiest people in the whole world. It ought to just bubble over. We should not be grouches. We should not be sourpusses. We should be happy. Your prayer life. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous thing. I'm absolutely convinced, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer can avert disaster. Prayer can cause healings. Prayer can bring about what we would call as miracles. So you need to be involved in your prayer. That's something you can do for the church. Are you going to get a check in the mail for that? I doubt it. But boy, what a blessing you'll get out of doing that. Working for the cause, working for the church, working for Christ. And yes, we work for Him. Yes, we do. Of course we do. Do we do this work so people will be in heaven? 1,000 times no. We know better than that. The Lord Jesus Christ secured the number of people that are going to be in heaven. We know this. But we still can do work for Him and honor Him in our daily lives and even reach out and help other people as we have the chance. Now, tell you something else you can do. Don't bear tales. Don't participate in gossip. A lot of that negative stuff, it just brings people down instead of lifting them up. Leave all that off and let's lift each other up in the Lord. Okay? Now I want to read you something here, and I think I've read this to you before. This is something Spurgeon said, and I'm out of time. This is something Spurgeon said on March the 31st of 1872, and I'll probably close right after this. Seth, Here in the Vineyard is going to be our hymn. Okay. Here's what Spurgeon said. Dear fellow Christians, you know what I mean. If there is some little thing I can do for Christ, though my minister will not know about it, though the deacons and elders will not know, and maybe no one will know. So this little thing that I can do, the preacher won't know, the pastor won't know, deacons won't know, elders won't know, maybe nobody will know, and if I leave it undone, nobody will suffer any calamity because I leave it undone. But if I do it, it will please my Lord. And I shall enjoy the sense of having done it for Him. Therefore will I attend to it, for it is no slight work if it be for Him. That, in my opinion, is absolutely brilliant. Okay, does anybody have to know? You know, in fact, it really doesn't matter who knows as long as the Lord knows. And the reward will come whether anybody knows it or not, and they're great. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it is one of the greatest privileges you can ever have to work for the Lord. Whether you're on the job, at home, on the ball team. I'll tell you this story on John. I've told you bad stories on John so much I'm ashamed. When John was very, very young, he played on the Upwards basketball team. How old was he, Becky? 8, 9, 10? Remember? 8 or 9, played on the Upwards basketball team. He won on the starting lineup, but at the end of the year, he got the award for the most Christ-like. Are you with me? I've never been so proud of him ever in my whole life. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I want to encourage you. In all these areas, to work for the Lord, to work with the right attitude, to work with a happy heart, to do more than is expected, to work even where you don't receive a monetary reward for it. Because the rewards we get for working for the Lord are so unbelievable. So unbelievable.